nothing else matters but to be here to honor you this morning. You are the main event, Jesus. You're the main event. You're the one that we're here for. You're the one that we live for. God, we don't even have a breath without you. We don't even have a hope or a prayer without you. God, we are nothing, nothing without you. God, you formed us from the dust of the earth. What are we without your breath in us? What are we without you? We just honor you this morning, Jesus. We lift you up. We lift you up, Jesus. We say, have your place. Have your place on the throne. Have your place on the throne in our hearts. Worship you this morning, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege of bowing down and worshiping you, God. For you're our King, you're our Lord, you're our majestic one, God, and you are the name above all names. You are King Jesus. You are the God of the universe. We bend our knees to you, Jesus. You're on the throne, God. You're the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You're the resurrection and the life, God. You're everything. You're the one. You're the one that we live for. You're the one that we sing to. You're the one that we worship above all else. Jesus, we love you so much. Just shout out your love for Jesus. Just tell Jesus how much you love him. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We bow to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The name above all names, God. The name above all. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of breakthrough. You are the great I am. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You are everything, Jesus, to us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your protection and your safety and your healing, God. Thank you for your delivering power. Thank you that you set the captives free, God. Father, we just command any attack, anything that would come against our family here and our family in Brazil or Mozambique and any other place to be null and void, to be broken now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shakaraba. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. There is no rival. There is no equal. Nothing, nothing that compares to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worthy one. Oh, wow. Just speaking this morning to Inez, who is our frontline director in Brazil, and Joe Cabeji, who is one of our leaders in Brazil. We welcome you in Jesus' name back from Brazil, everybody, who we haven't seen yet today. So it's really great to have you guys here. And we got to be here a little bit earlier, so praise the Lord for that. And right now, as we speak, there's something brand new starting in City of God. Brand new. And Joe Cabeji was walking in through the mouth of City of God with Inez. And everyone was there, is there. And the enemy doesn't like it one bit. He doesn't like our worship center. He doesn't like the kids program. He doesn't like drug dealers coming to know Jesus. He doesn't like the other people who are involved in very wicked things to be set free, and they were. And the Lord's going to get glory for it, and already is. And today we're going to hear more about that. And these little children that have been so touched, they're not just little kids. These are world changers that are being touched by the glory and the power of God. And we're going to hear about that today. And they're being raised to see something different, to know something different. Amen. So Joe Cabeji and Amanda are starting a new group, and they're working with those who are the new converts, the ones who came to the street outreach. the day before, a couple days before we left, right in the middle, right at the entrance of this place that is just filled with debauchery and wickedness and all. We go to all the time. And Joe and Amanda and everybody, they go there year after year. Oh, there's a picture. Okay. Here we are. This is brand new. This is today. This is not today. This is the first one. Okay, well, I didn't know. This is good. Bia and Zen and some other guys. This is the first one that was had. But this is the beginning of the actual, let's dive into the word. Let's start it on a Sunday afternoon. And so these are the ones at Casa de Jesus, which is about 8 steps from our worship center. And they're meeting right now. And more people are being gathered. And the enemy's not happy at all. And so this is really historic. This is a very big deal. It's the first time that we've taken the ones right off the streets to do something like this. So this is great. So we asked Inez if she would go ahead and send a picture today. So hopefully she'll do that, which is really great. But this is, if you take a look at this, this is not a little thing. This doesn't happen. This does not happen in Cidade de Deus. It doesn't happen like this. But it did. And these are not people who decided to come to a church and then they'll just kind of hang out. These are people who responded. Some of them have been there, but many of them, these are people who responded to the raw gospel of love, the gospel of the kingdom. And now this is the next step in discipling them. This is very important. So we're asking for your prayers, and we're asking to, if we would just continue to pray. I think emails have gone out. Just continue to pray throughout these next few weeks, and hopefully it'll become a lifestyle, that when we pray and have communion together or with our families or in our houses, that we're lifting up these opportunities that we're very closely tethered in. And it's not, we're going on a mission trip. Woohoo, look at my mission trip. It's been 2 weeks. No, this is a mission that God has sent us on, and we're like a SEALs team, and we're going in, but we stay and we continue to grow. And it's, yeah. And so this is, we're asking for your continued prayer support. And I think within our house of prayer, I'm going to talk to the leaders. We're going to establish something a little bit more deeply defined so we can have some of those updates and we can have some of those prayer requests and things like that so that we're reminded of that. And hopefully that'll become a lifestyle even more because we need it. It's nice to have a dream and go, well, this is good, or whoop, we better pray against it or whatever. And God does speak to us that way. And he wants us to know these things, what's going on in the spirit, but he wants us to do something about it, whatever it would be, and say, yes, bring it in, or oh, that needs to go, whatever it is. And so we need to increase in that area, which we're doing, so praise God for that. So welcome home. Troy just got here. The team arrived on Wednesday, and Troy had a little adventure. So I think, did you want to take it from here and see where it goes? And we, if you weren't here last week, Pastor Bill and I were speaking, and there were some videos and such, and I think it might be posted. I'm not sure. And I think Andy has something to start with.
So it's good to be back from Brazil. Good to see everyone. So we had an incredible adventure and an incredible trip with everyone. And one of the things setting this team apart from past years was actually we left, well, we knew this a couple days before, but I told the team the day we left, by the way, you know, the 9 of us are going right now, but there are 6 team members in Brazil waiting for us. Actually, first I just said there are 6 team members. We had 6 more people joining us at the airport, and they thought I meant Cleveland. But no, it wasn't that spontaneous. They're in Brazil. So we actually had 15 on the team and staying again in Heliopolis in the missions house there. And so the 6 that are part of our worship center there in Brazil joined us, slept with us, ate with us, did everything, ministered side by side, and were fully a part of the team. And you can see them up there. And of course, we've got Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. And on the left side, we've got Dr. Inez, who heads up our worship center in Brazil for Frontline Brazil. And then Eunice, who's faithful in serving there in the favelas and also blessing us with some incredibly good food. And then Pastor Seu, who heads up Casa de Jesus and Iris Ministry, Sao Paulo, right next to her. So incredible adventure, and it was a lot of fun being able to add them. And it's a first to do that in Brazil, to add in fully as part of the team. So it was exciting going from church to church, and it's historic, definitely. So we've got some fun things. And then kids, you can check with your parents. You can either stay in here, or we're going to do in the back, the team, some of the team's going to be doing some special things for the kids in the back. But we are going to keep the junior high and up here with us so you guys can hear everything that God did in Brazil. So I think that's Joe and Angie. You guys have the children, correct? Yeah. Yeah, in the first half. So kids, you are released to Kingdom Kids. If you want to go there, Angie and Joe are going to be with you. And then we're going to get this thing kicked off so I don't forget anything here. So Tiana and Ashley and Denny, if you guys want to come up here, and you guys are going to kind of kick us off with some about this trip. So again, for anyone who doesn't know, we're ministering in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in the favelas there, which are the slum areas. We've been doing this for a number of years, but just such an increase in this trip, and again, adding the Brazilian team members. And I'm going to turn it over to Tiana to share a bit here.
As Troy said, it was a very amazing trip, especially because it was the first year that we had Brazilians and Americans on our team, and it was just the way that everything flowed, it was just wonderful. So we have been going to Brazil since 2005, and there's been a lot that's happened between 2005 and now, and this year was really a year where the Lord was also bringing our memory back to all the things that he's done throughout the years. And so this photo is hanging in the mission house, on one of the floors of the mission house. It is all the photos of everything that Frontline's done from the beginning till probably about 3 or 4 years ago. So just many, many things. There's people being ministered to. There's a hot dog party. There's kids sitting on people's laps. There's the journey, if some of you remember that drama that we used to do. But this picture is just something that is very special because it just reminds me like that it's not just a mission trip, but it's really like changing the lives of an area. And I believe Heliopolis especially, and now City of God, they're really being changed by the presence of the Lord being there. So I want to just say that this year was a year of remembrance for me. For all the years that I've been there, the Lord was just bringing a whole lot of things back this year. Before we left during training weekend, I was asking the Lord, what are you going to do this year? And he shared with me that he was going to bring back people from the past and give testimony of what he's been doing in their lives. And so I kid you not, there were, I will talk about these three in a minute, but there were young men and women that I haven't seen in years that just happened to come by the church this year. And they got prayer, they got ministry, or they spoke of what God had done in their lives throughout the years. And it just was amazing. So these three ladies, Viviani, she has been with us from the beginning. Every single year she comes back. She comes back and she helps us translate. She helps us with ministry. And she says that it's all because of what the Lord has done through us in Brazil. Every year she comes back. And then the girl on the very end, her name is Bianca. Those two children are hers. And she's also a young lady that's from the beginning, since the first time we came, and we haven't seen her in many, many years. So didn't have much time to talk to her, but I believe that she's doing well from what I heard. But this girl in the middle is who I want to talk about. Her name is Rafaela, and her picture is back there. She's in the red shirt back there. So any of you that have ever come and prayed over that picture or prayed for the children of Brazil, you were praying for Rafaela. And I just want to tell you, on Monday when we were doing our children's program, she came into the church and she was so excited to see me. And so I took some time out and I sat with her and I was talking to her, and she told me, so two or three years ago, we saw her, and she told me that she was living a homosexual lifestyle. And she told me that she was living with a woman she had been living with for a while and all this stuff. And I said, oh, honey, you know, that's not the Lord's best. We're going to pray for you. And, you know, and I told her that we love her. We were praying for her. And so this year when she came into the church, she came to tell me that both her and the woman she was living with gave their lives to Jesus separately, moved away from each other, and they're now living lifestyles for Jesus separately. And that the Lord has been really showing her what her promise is for, the real promise is for her life. And so, Rafaela in the middle, for anybody here who's prayed for the people in that picture, for the kids in the picture, there's a living testimony right there, Rafaela, of what God has been doing throughout the years. So, thank you, Jesus.
So, this was my first frontline missions trip. And all I can say is it was incredible to see the way that God was moving and working through like myself and the team and the people there. So one of the first days we went out in the streets and we're just ministering, walking door to door, saying hi. And we came to this one house where the woman was having problems with her back and had really bad back pain. And so, Hobson, who's in the red hat, as well as Troy and I, were praying for him while Denny was praying for the other man in the picture. And we were praying over her back that the pain would be gone. And that was the first time I personally have ever prayed over someone and had the pain gone. And so that was like really, really eye-opening and encouraging to see like a lit, like live testimony in front of my face, like God is healing people today. And so with continuing in that, there was another woman later that we also prayed for who had back pain and also was able to receive healing from that. And then on one Sunday, we were praying over people who came up to the front. And there was a couple that came up to me and I had a translator with me and we were praying. The woman had knee problems and the man had back problems and they also wanted prayer for their business. So I just prayed into that, and later I found out that it was Inez's brother who I was praying over, and the next day Inez came to me and shared a text that she got from her brother that his back pain was totally gone, and that he's so busy with his business now because there's been business that has come in, and that he doesn't know what, like, he has too much to do right now.
I didn't know this was going on, that every time she's praying for people, they're getting healed. So Inez was, which is really cool. So we're at a church about an hour and a half away in Braganza, and this is where this happened with Inez's brother. And so we're in Inez's kitchen, and she goes, oh, darling, look at this. This is so amazing for my brother. She reads this long text. So I said, oh, make sure that we send this so that Ashley's encouraged. But just to let you know, this anointing was so strong on everybody. Wherever anybody went, if it was in these two mainstream favelas, so to speak, things were happening. If it was an hour and a half away, the Lord's grace and glory and healing and delivering power was just rampant, and it was viral. It just went viral. It was everywhere.
Yeah. So that was really encouraging for me, as well as just watching the rest of the team step into, like, what Pastor Mary Pat was saying, like, what God had for them, and the healing that just, flowed throughout everything that we were doing. So.
So I was just going to talk briefly about a part that impacted me the most, and that was just how when we went to City of God and did our really big outreach, not only were there just tons of salvations and tons of people that were sticking around for more impartation and prayer and things, but on top of that, I know Angie had a vision, which you'll hear more about this, but basically just God is so much advancing in that city and, like, just doing such great breakthrough. Like, you know, that place is, like, pretty much, like, I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, almost like hell is one way to describe it in some ways. Like, it's just filled with just worldly things, bad music. You can hear it all throughout the city. You know, there's just so many things that are going on in that city, and just it'd be definitely hard to be a Christian there, but God is really advancing, and with all this discipleship and just all else that God is doing, visions of showing us as well as the Brazilians, like, basically walking through the city glowing. You know, just God is so much advancing in that city, and just encourage you to pray that God would truly just spark even more revival in that city. So that was, you know, what was really on my heart. But as well, we also had an opportunity to impact Heliopolis. And it was interesting how it happened. We were just driving back from, I think it was the City of God church that one night. And we just, it's actually, I think a Brazilian or two said it first, but they were like, we should stop over there at that park and minister to those people. And this is really random. I mean, this is like 10 or 10:30 at night or something. I think it was a Friday night. And we're like, we felt we should do it. And so we went back, got some props to do some dramas and such. And we did some drama and danced and preached the gospel. And there was a couple that came forward that got saved, and that's right there. And then, so not only that, yes, not only that, but, and then the guy, yes, yes. So then also there was another guy that we were able to pray for. Most of the team was there, and he had surgery like 2 days earlier. Was it a broken leg exactly, or... Okay, so he broke his tibia in a motorcycle accident. And so our team was really praying for this guy as well. And through praying for him, all the pain left his leg. And also he got saved. So, yeah. And just to even cast the vision of what this area was like there was probably like 60 people or so that heard us. And there might even have been more. But like the whole area, a lot of the people were just drinking. And that was pretty much all they were doing there. So it was a really awesome opportunity to be there. Then also Hyla, one of the Brazilian team members, just an awesome, like, she's 14 years old now. She's just an awesome fireball for God. And she also talked to these young girls, and they also gave their lives to Jesus. So, yeah, praise God. So that was just great breakthrough in Heliopolis as well, and just that we were able to really just see God move in that area.
And I just want to explain about how awesome this team is. So this is 10:30 at night on, I think it was Friday night, and so said, so, hey, look at all those people over there. You know, we go back and forth. So we actually went back to where we stay, sent someone in to get the drama props, did the loop around again to get back to the park, which is, I mean, this is all like, you know, loads of fun. And so we get there, and everyone's just so excited, and like, wow, we're going to do this. So amazing. You know, 5 people got saved, someone got healed, and others were prayed for, and Denny's about to share about a couple that he and Sherry got to share with. But I just wanted to paint that picture. This is not, we were done with ministry. We'd already had this meeting. We'd been meeting for hours. We were heading back to get food and sleep. And so it's just awesome to see the team really step up, jump in, and just go out and around. So I just wanted to add that background.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I ended up talking to this couple, and the lady was saved and the guy was not saved. And I didn't know that at first necessarily. I maybe heard a little bit, but I just even gave a simple word that I felt God wanted me to tell the guy, which was just that God has great plans for his life. And through that, he's like, you know, people at work, they especially tell me that they feel like me and my wife should be pastors. And even just that, you know, he just felt like really connected. He just really was talking to me a lot. And they both accepted prayer. And it was just awesome how God really spoke to their heart at that outreach as well. So, yeah, I was just full of Jesus. Yeah.
So we're going to hear from the good doctor. Dr. Josh is... putting in his paying his dues for leaving for 2.5 weeks. So he's actually had to work this morning, but he has a video for us to see real quick. So do you have that, Andy? All right. Going once, going twice. Sold.
Well, good morning, FMI. I am so sorry I can't be with you this morning, but I'm going to be at work. So I wanted to give you a video update of some of my testimonies from Brazil. Now, remember, I have not been to Brazil since 2006, so there was a lot of new things for me. But what was cool was that the new things were actually built upon the foundation that God had established way earlier in Brazil. For example, Pastor Dirceu, when we were there in 2006, had a vision of waters coming from United States, Brazil, and Africa, and Mozambique, and mixing together. And as the three continents worked together, there was waters that were brown from these countries, and they were turning blue as the water from America came down and mixed with the waters from Brazil and Mozambique. And he was just encouraging us at that time the importance of your team coming, that you have such an impact on our country. And sure enough, this was the first year where our Brazilian FMI team and our American FMI team joined together as one team. And the impact of that unity and that team together was far-reaching. And the impact of our team coming from America on the Brazilian team was far-reaching. And the impact of the Brazilian team on us was far-reaching as well. So just seeing that vision actually taking place in reality was one of the many exciting things for me. Just getting to go. I'm the last of the four people whose visas were denied in 2007 to be back there. So for me, it was like full retribution, you know, full getting back at the enemy this trip, because what he tried to stop and has tried to stop, he cannot stop. So that in of itself was amazing, let alone all the things that God is doing. So you'll get to hear about those from other people, but things like the salvations and healing and house-to-house ministry, the amazing testimonies of what children were seeing and experiencing and feeling during soaking. I mean, we had children experiencing heaven, angels, gold dust, seeing God on his throne, you know, being given assignments to go back and love and serve their family. I mean, numerous things that just blew my mind on how these children were experiencing the Lord in soaking time. So a couple specific testimonies. I really enjoyed the house-to-house ministry. There were multiple people we got to pray for healing and salvation. There was one gentleman that had been in a coma, he said, from meningitis when he was 30 years old. And he said that he was in a coma for about 15 days. But while in this coma, apparently his family was praying for him, and he got healed. And the doctors had told him that he wouldn't survive, or if he did, he would be sort of in a vegetative state. But he was healed. And so he realized that these prayers were effective, and that God had a plan for his life, so he gave his life to the Lord at that period of time. So it was just so neat to hear his story and to be able to affirm the plans that God had for his life and for his family. And so our whole team got to pray over him, got to pray for his family, and just affirm the blessings of God and the plan of God for his life. And he was super encouraged. And our house-to-house ministry team just prayed amazing words over his life, his children's life, and his wife's life as well. Another testimony of during house-to-house is there was a woman that was cleaning We went on a sort of a holiday, a day off for most of the Brazilians, and she was just cleaning her house as we came in, and she had some what sounded like Portuguese worship music on in the background. And I really felt as we were praying that she knew the Lord, but that her husband was not walking with the Lord. And so we brought that out during the prayer time, and she became nearly tearful and said that that was true, that she had had a previous relationship and a child that was living some distance from where she was at, and she got to see that child from time to time, but that her current husband was not walking with the Lord the way that he should. So we were just able to call him out and call his salvation and destiny out, and just encourage her to continue loving the Lord, her God, with all her heart, mind, and soul, and continuing to serve her husband and love her husband the way that Jesus would, and that we're just trusting God with his salvation. So she was really touched by that, that the Lord had showed us in our prayer time. And lastly, what I wanted to share was a really special time on the way to the airport. So Joe Kabeji, Joe Hay, Sherry, and myself were riding in an Uber car to the airport on our way to go back home. And there was a young man who was our Uber driver who we very quickly began a conversation with. His mother was raised Catholic. His father was a spiritist. And so that left him with some interesting ideas about who God was and what it meant to love and serve God and salvation. So while we were able to share with him just the true gospel, the love of Jesus for his life personally, how he was not saved by works and by outweighing his good deeds from his bad deeds, and that God loved him not because of what he can do in life, but just because of who he is and who God created him to be. And we're able to give him a fairly systematic presentation of the gospel on the way to the airport, because we had about 40 to 45 minutes. And what was so cool is by the end of it, he was asking, so what do I do next? I really want to pray that prayer you were talking about to give my life to Jesus. So he was asking what to do to be saved by the end of it. We didn't have to pry him, but he was excited, and he said that he felt inside of himself like he wanted to cry, or he needed to do something, and that he was excited to pray this prayer. So he prayed the prayer of salvation, getting forgiveness and cleansing from his sins and freedom from his old life. He had said that there were some sins that he just kept coming back to, and so he got cleansing and freedom from that, and was also able to receive the love of God, hear the truth, and just surrender his life and make Jesus his Lord. So what a cool way to end the trip. And that was the second Uber driver that was saved on the trip.
So thank you so much to all who prayed and just poured your hearts into this trip, and just pray that this morning you are so encouraged and so blessed by what God is doing in Brazil. Blessings.
Amen. So as he mentioned, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat were riding from their staying with Inez to, down to City of God. They mentioned it last week. But as they were going, and Pastor Bill said they took the longest route ever. They've done that route a number of times since, like, the GPS. She was following GPS, but he said, all these places I've never seen before, and we've done this ride a number of times, so it was a longer trip than normal. But by the end of it, she said yes to the Lord, and Gisela, you know, said yes to the Lord, stopped driving, came into the church service with us, then shared her testimony in the slum. This is in the favela, like, no Uber driver. They don't even like to stop there much, you know, like, kick the passengers out as you're driving by. And if you aren't there when they get there, if you call them, if you're, they don't meet you inside, they meet you outside, they will just keep on going. And depending on the time, I've had to wait before for multiple drivers till one would believe us that we weren't going to rob them. You know, to come in as someone who does not do that and to come in and, you know, want to be a part of the service and share, she ended up sharing her testimony and everything. So two Uber drivers accepted the Lord of this trip and just had so many amazing things along the way. And then I'm going to have Joe Hay and Angie come up here. But Sherry wasn't able to be with us this morning, but she did send me a brief thing of some things she wanted to share. So, Andy, I think you had a picture or two with Sherry there. But one of the ones, she was at a church, and there's a lady with a tumor on the left side of her abdomen inside. And as she was praying for her, she just felt the power of God going into the lady. And she just, as she declared that over, she said the lady suddenly just felt the power of God and just went down in the spirit. And she said the lady was going to go check with her doctor to see if that was gone. But she said it was just so encouraging that time. And then just a lot of other release. But we were at a church last Sunday. Is that really just last Sunday? Oh, my goodness. So, no, that wasn't last. A week ago Sunday. And we were at a church called Hegemitos, and just an amazing power of God poured out. Pastor Mary Pat was preaching there, and she had been praying for different people, and then there's this one young girl she was talking to, and she was able to get a translator, one of the pastor's sons, Nathan. And as a young girl, and just as she was talking with her, she just gave her life to the Lord right there. You know, this is at the end of all this, just Holy Spirit pouring out and just preaching. It wasn't, you know, the gospel net sharing, like, come, you know, receive Jesus this moment, but it was about living a life fully for Jesus. And so as she talked to her, she gave her heart to the Lord. And then she said she would have more to say if she was here, but she's going to, she'll do that later. You can catch her yourself on Tuesday, assuming she's here. But that was the main things from her. So this, I know this was a testimony where they'd been out going house to house and ministering and had, as I understood it, had met this guy. And at first, he did not want to receive the Lord, but then it came back around through some cool circumstance. You can read about it on the website. We have a website, www.frontline-ministries.org. You can go to the missions page. You can read the full testimony where you see this picture. But right here, we were done with going out, but just said, are you ready for this? And the gentleman just took her hands and prayed with her right here. So was that the only one we had with Sherry, I think? Or all right. So if Joe and Angie want to come on up and share, Angie's closer, I guess I'll give it to Angie.
Praise Jesus. Sorry, I have a cold. You all are going to have to just deal with it. So this trip was really amazing. We saw God do a lot of amazing things. And I know that you guys have heard like some testimonies and everything already. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was the overall impact of the house-to-house ministry, because unless you've been to Brazil and unless you've been there, you don't quite always realize exactly what that's looked like before. So in this particular trip, there was a lot of acceleration that the Lord was doing. He was really building on like some of the foundations that have been laid on trips past. And so there was a lot of easiness when we went in. Because like we went in and the very first day that we went out on the house-to-house ministry, everyone that we came in contact with wanted prayer. They wanted us to share with them. We didn't have anyone say, like, no, I'm busy, I don't have time to talk to you, or come back later, or anything like that. And in years past, when I've been there, it's been a little bit more, people have been a little bit more resistant to the gospel. They haven't wanted to, like, you know, they're in their day-to-day things, they haven't wanted to hear, or they've just been like, okay, yeah, you can pray for me, but that's it. But people this time, they were open to hear what Jesus wanted to do in their lives. And so, like, I know in my team, ourselves, we had two people on the very first day give their hearts to Jesus. Some of the other teams had people give their hearts to Jesus. We had healings. We had prayers for people. We were able to encourage, like, you know, the believers that we came in contact with. And so God was really doing something different this year. And so one of the things that he is is doing in Brazil is he's really calling forth his promises that he has for the nation itself. And I'm going to finish up what I wanted to share a little bit differently than what some of the other people may have shared already. And I'm going to share a vision that I saw on our last day while we were there praying. We were praying before we left for Pastor Joseo, for Inez, and for the rest of the frontline Brazil team that's there. And we're also praying for Chia Eonisi. We call her Aunt Eonisi because she's our aunt and we love her. And so we were praying for them. And while we were praying, I actually saw a vision of two huge warring angels in City of God. One of them was standing in the frontline worship center. The other one was standing across the street, which is where Casa de Jesus has their meeting place there in City of God. And so the two angels, they were standing there, and they had their swords, like, up at salute, and they were crossed. They were crossed like this. And so as I saw the angels, you know, standing there, I suddenly saw these legions of angels just rise up around them. Basically, it was the army of the Lord was rising up. And as the two angels kind of started really doing battle, the other angel armies, they just like swarmed out of there and they flooded out through City of God. And as they flooded out through that area, you could just see, I could see like the darkness that's over that area just rose up like this, and it had to flee. It had to go in the presence of Jesus. And so they were, there's just waves of glory that were coming as these angels, they went out on this assignment. And as they flooded over City of God, they flooded over the outerlying area there in Sao Paulo, and they went on to Heliopolis, and it went on to all areas there in Brazil. And God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing, and we are privileged to be part of it. That was another thing that the Lord was really doing on this trip, was driving in that deeply into our hearts about how much of a privilege it is to be there and to be able to be part of what it is that he wants to do. And even though we're here and the frontline team in Brazil is there, we're united in spirit and in heart. And so God is wanting to really pour out his spirit there in this day and in this time. And what he's doing there in Brazil, it's not going to just stop in Sao Paulo. It's not just for City of God. It's not just for Heliopolis, but it's for the entire nation of Brazil. It's for the entire continent of South America. And it's for the entire world itself, because what God is doing has outerlying ripples that, just like you throw a stone into a pond and it ripples out, the presence of the Lord is rippling out throughout the world. And how he has things connected, we can't see in the natural, but in the supernatural, it's all tied together. Mozambique, the U.S., Brazil, China, it's all tied in together. And the wave of his glory that's coming is, this is a new time, it's a new season, and it's time to be serious with God and to listen to what he's saying and to really follow what it is that he's wanting to do.
I just want to add about that with just the vision that she had, and I don't believe Angie's actually knew this, but back in 2005, the first time we had a team in Brazil, Pastor Joseo was reminding me about the vision that you had and reminding me about a vision the Lord had showed him back in 2005, where he had seen, as our team was there ministering, he had seen two tall warring angels that were there at the place we were at. They were there outside of a large outreach we were doing at a samba school. We were using the big amphitheater. We were not doing samba. Not exactly a Jesus thing down there. And but, you know, saw these two warring angels. And there have been three or four different times, I want to say, over the years in Brazil specifically, some people that were even translators that saw a picture of these two, specifically two large warring angels watching over. So just to kind of add that, you know, the Lord's just doing a new thing and sending out even increase. So I'll let Pastor Maria Pat add more to that.
This is what I love about Frontline. We can have a report of what we saw and what we did, and then the Lord jumps into how he wants to take it, which is, it's always really great. So thank you for that. And I think we don't know what year it was. Is Nikki here? Nikki saw one or two of those angels. Two, both? She saw the same angels outside the Samba school. Yeah, and that was in 2000-something, five? The year of the rap dance? Those of you who were there, you know. But anyway, I wanted to, 2005. Okay, that was the first year. But I just want to tell you that this is how impacting this was. This is my one of my very old Bibles, the one I use all the time. And this vision that, can you come hold this, Troy, so I can just show them? This vision was so significant for this nation and for Mozambique, America, Israel, China, as was said, that I wrote it in the back of my little tattered Bible, and it's very, very strong. And I'm going to make this known to every, thank you, in the future, and make it known to you guys. But just to let you know that there's such a fulfillment of this vision that's really kicked into another gear. Those of you who were here last week heard just a tad about us being encouraged to go to the airport, the international airport, Pastor Jerseo, Inez, Pastor Bill, and I, to meet Mel Tari, Papa Mel. You all know Papa Mel. And he's a revivalist, missionary, evangelist, and good friend of Heidi and Roland, and a Papa here to us. It's been to every nation in the world. And we met him in Brazil, in Heliopolis, in the slum in 2007. And he, when he met us, he got this download from heaven about what God was doing with us here and abroad. And we've been really closely connected ever since. And we didn't really know him, but he got this same thing. So he and I connected and said, hey, let's meet for lunch because I'm going to Belo Horizonte, another place. I'm coming into GRU. Can you guys come and meet me? Yeah. So we went, and you can hear it if you listen to the message from last week because we told a little bit about it. But he pointed at us, you know, Papa Mel style. And he said, I want to tell you what God is doing in the world. This is something that he felt that he heard. It was really cool. And what the Lord was doing, to back up what Angie was saying, which she doesn't even know this, but he was saying that the Lord is doing, he's answering all of these prayers, all of these efforts from all the peoples, not just us or anything like that, in Brazil and around the world in a new way right now. And he's saying, and he said that, and it deserves repeating, he said that there's this kind of like this cataclysmic collision connection when heaven has been moving and earth has been responding, and there's a point in the spirit where they, boom, where they kind of collide, and then there's a new explosion. And then the Lord comes in, and not that he hasn't led the brigade, and not that he hasn't taken over, but there's just something in the spirit that none of us get, where he comes in and says, okay, kids, it's time, watch this, let's go. And then he's really moving. It's like, whoa. So he was so excited at what's been going on in the favelas, that he just said, you know, this is kind of a fulfillment of what God's been doing, because Pastor Jerseo saw us going around in Brazil, in all these different areas in Brazil, particularly in the area of serving and worship. Put them together, because that's Romans 12, verse 1, okay? Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. I urge you, brethren. This is your reasonable act of worship and service, depending on your version. And so when we got the boot in 2007. We had already gone there in January or February, I think it was. I don't remember. And the team, the rest of the team, was going to go, and we were going to join them. So we were going back for the second wave in 2007. Josh and Christy and Bill and myself, we couldn't get a visa. And they're married, but their name is JK. They don't even know they're related to us. But the enemy does. And so here we are with a generational thing, not just because it's our family, but also because of what the Lord was doing. Is Josh, and you know where he stands with worship and heading up the worship center or the school of worship and everything, and Christy with that, with him. And this was significant. So the enemy tried. So for Josh to say what the enemy tried to do absolutely didn't work, it was just, it's really cool because the Lord's saying, watch what I'm doing. Christy was back a couple years ago, and now Josh came back, and the enemy was trying to stop things. But there's such a momentum in the favelas because of the labor. And this is what Mel said, to bring it to closure. Because of the labor consistent following what God's been saying or trying to, even with the boot in 2007. And then when the Lord said, reapply, we got a 10-year visa And Pastor Bill and I have been going back ever since. Okay? But this is a generational thing. And there's something about this ministry where the Lord is watching and likes this seals approach and generational legacy approach in the various nations. And it's Mozambique. It's here. It's America. It's here. It's China, Israel, and other countries as well. So we're not the only deal. We don't mean it that way. But the Lord told Pastor Jerseo during in this prophecy, he said, you, you're the first and the best, meaning that's scriptural, meaning that I'm sending you out to do something. You're going to be kind of undercover for a long time, but you're still doing all these things, and we have all these reports every year, but you're the first ones. And this is in response. If you know Heidi Baker, she and Roland are the directors of Frontline or of Iris Global, and we're an affiliate there. And she was going on her way to the airport, and she had fireballs from heaven just coming and boom, just like bombing her. And she's like this in a taxi as they take her to the airport. And this was in May, and we showed up in June or July, and we were the first ones to come and do what we've been doing, affecting the nation of Brazil. It's not a little thing. And the enemy doesn't like it. And it's been, you know, not a walk in the park ever since. But I did want to tell you that when we did the outreach, which I don't think Troy and the team are talking about because we talked about it last week, and there is a video that's somewhere. I don't know if it's on Facebook or wherever it is. And this is an outreach that we did right in the street, blocked off the street in front of City of God. You don't do that. The Uber drivers won't even stop more than in and out. I mean, it's dangerous there, for real. But, you know, when you have angels, it's okay. So we blocked off the whole street, and I'm so serious about that, and had the worship and the dance and the drama and the hot dogs and the popcorn and the Magdalena film and the preaching, and these drug dealers are coming up and crying and giving their lives to Jesus and ladies on the street and all kinds of things. It was really powerful, unprecedented, historical, and absolutely a God thing. It was like, oh my gosh. And at one point, the team doesn't know this, but I looked up and I saw in the street between these two big buildings, and there's the mouth of this place. When you kind of walk in, it's like poof, hell hits you. And I looked up, and there was this huge angel, and if there was another one, the buildings were blocking because I could only see. And just expansiveness over all of City of God, and that street particularly. And the Lord was saying, I'm protecting you. Keep going. So it's not a little thing at all. So we really want to praise God, and that's why we're saying it here. Not to be heard, not that you can go, oh, that's just lovely. But it's good to say, well, that's a good thing. But we want to get it out, and we want to say, Jesus, we're not stopping, we're not stepping back, we're not relenting, we're not going backwards, we're going forwards. And now you're going to be bringing in those who will have that heart and continue to do it like you all do. And we're going to have more troops, and it's going to grow because we need that kind of heart, honestly, to do that kind of work. Because the cost is high, the price is big, and you don't just kind of skate along. You really need prayer support, and you need to be able to honestly count the cost and pay the price to do it. So put that in your prayer heart, and then carry that with us, because it's a very, very big deal. Amen.
Hi. No, I gotta follow PMP. First off, I love Brazil and the kids there. Specifically, the teenagers, because I see the trouble that they deal with, and what they're growing up in is horrific. I work in Akron as a cop, and I see the worst there, and it's tenfold, you know, in City of God, and it really touched my heart. I know one day specifically, Troy gave me the opportunity with him to talk with a couple of these kids, Luan and Victor. We basically got to share with them. I was able to share a little bit about my testimony. And, you know, the fact is, like, these kids are growing up. There's alcohol everywhere. There's prostitution. And they're being exposed to, you know, you could only, God, you know, God only knows. And for them to give their lives, to rededicate their lives back to Jesus, was really amazing. And one of these individuals, another one, his name's Hercules, and I guess a couple of years ago, he was one that was shot by a police officer in City of God, and while the team was there, I was, so, you know, me being a police officer, like, I could not imagine, like, you know, this guy was a drug dealer, you know, got shot by a cop, God spared his life, and then, you know, two years later, you know, Troy ends up speaking with him, and he gives his life to the Lord, which, to me, that's amazing, because that speaks that, you know, in my profession, like, I can't look at people as they can't be reached, they can't be touched. God, you know, is able to go into the darkest of hearts, you know, and just pull people up and give them hope.
So I just want to share this full testimony while we're talking about it. So 2 years ago, you can stay because you have more to share, I think. So don't go anywhere, sir. But 2 years ago, our team was there, and he was the main guy that was overseeing the drug selling right there. And this is taking place 20 feet from the church, and we're in a narrow alley. And this year was interesting. They actually had two different spots, so it was right by the church, but they also had, you could go left too. So you could go straight or you could go left. And it depended on the day to mess up with the police, I'm guessing. But anyways, so every day we were just saying hi, and, you know, I mean, and just God was touching his heart. And I remember one day being able to stop for a second and talk to him. There was no one right there buying at the moment, and he poured some Guadana for me, and we drank some Guadana together, and just, you know, just talking to him, not really going anywhere in particular. Guadana is a beverage. It's a type of pop made out of the Guadana root, which is only found in Brazil, and it's kind of like a fruity ginger ale. You can find it at Giant Eagle in the international section, but if you don't get the Antarctica version, then you're not really having the real Guadana. The Kuat one and the other ones are not the same. But anyways, so that's what Guadana is. It's not. It's a type of pop. It is not a different kind of beverage that someone selling drugs would necessarily be having. So thanks for the clarification. You know, just watching out for my reputation here. So anyways, that won't get on Facebook. This particular day, Carly, who is somewhere close here, I saw her, I thought. She's working on something. Well, Carly woke up that morning, the morning he got shot, woke up that morning praying, and he was on her heart, just praying and interceding and praying for his life, and she's just weeping and crying and just praying for him. In Brazil, we're in Brazil, this is the day he got shot, just crying and weeping and praying for him. And as we, you know, we went in that day and passed him, I happened to, he was in between deals. So I talked to him for a quick second. I just felt like the Lord told me to just keep going. And so went in, and then two or three minutes later, we suddenly hear a gunshot. And we look outside the door, and he had been shot by an undercover police officer that had come in, and I think he had tried to resist, and so he shot him. I mean, we're talking point-blank range. But it totally went through his side, missed every organ, missed, just went through the side, did not, you know, greatly wound him. I mean, he was bleeding, and he had to get that taken care of. He got shot. So the police officer walked him out, and we had been continuing to pray for him at that point and beyond, and tried to find him, couldn't find him. So we went back last year, tried to find him. We couldn't find him. We've been praying for him for 2 years now for this opportunity to meet him. A couple weeks ago, I was going in late with Hobson, one of our Brazilian contacts, to go pick up some of his stuff he needed to get. He forgot his medicine or something. And as we went through, there's this guy sitting on the corner right before going up to Hobson Street. And just he said hi to him, and I said hi to him, shook his hand, and he told me his name was Hercules. You know, Hercules, and because they don't really say the H. And, you know, said, oh, good to meet you. And I walked up with Hobson up the stairs, and I was like, something familiar about this guy. And Hobson said, this is the guy that got shot 2 years ago. I said, what? So we finished what we were doing, came down, and he was gone. And so I said, okay, Lord, I said, Hobson, I want to see him again. So the next day we're driving in, and he's walking right down the street towards us. And I stopped and said, hey, I want to talk with you. Can you come back in? No, I can't. I have to go to a job or something. So I said, well, I want to talk to you. And I got his Facebook. And that's when I figured out it was Hercules. I kept putting it in as E-R-C-O-L-E-S. And so it's Hercules. So I think that was like on Tuesday. So it was like 2 days later on Thursday, right before we did this big street outreach. And he came to the church and brought him into the room. I had a translator and was able to just talk with him and shared this whole thing of us praying for him, Carly interceding for him, God's protection. I said, you should have been you should have been wounded pretty bad. I mean, you're point blank range and it missed everything. Didn't go through you, went just through the side. And, you know, shared about God's love for him. And he just starts crying right there in the church and just starts crying and then wanted to receive the Lord. And so he's one that's supposed to be coming into the discipleship group and working with him. We had contact with him a few other times. And he's no longer selling drugs. Apparently, gunshot wounds can affect people, even without Jesus. So he had stopped after getting shot. He stopped selling the drugs and being a part of that. But was really at a point to receive the Lord. So that was really awesome. So that's kind of the part of the background of Hercules. Was there more you want to share about the one? You did. Victor, praying with Victor.
Sorry, this is Brazil calling.
Oh, sorry. First we prayed with Luan, and he is actually the older brother of Emily, who was the girl that had the lice, and were able to help her, and Gabriel's older brother, too, who, I don't know, if you've been to Brazil, you've met Gabriel, I'm sure. He is still the same. Maybe a little, like, he's better, but he is just so full of energy, is the right way to put it. He is... And you, as every day the team walks into City of God, he is somewhere trying to get into one of the buildings. But Luan he's 15, I want to say. And when we were talking with the translator, found out he was working in a factory next to his house at a bread factory, I think it was a bakery, 12 hours a day, basically to kind of help out his family. His mom's in prison, and he's got Gabriel, who's 13, and then his little sister, Emily, who's, yeah, he's smaller, but yeah, he's a joven. And we were able to pray with him for him to receive Jesus. And the next one was Victor, who is 15. And, you know, he, the same thing, like he's being exposed to all this stuff, girls specifically, and marijuana. And we were able to pray with him and for him to come to the Lord. There was a third one that we prayed with. What was his name? Francisco. And you could tell that the Lord was really touching his heart. Like he broke down. He was 16, broke down, and he was crying, And we thought, okay, like, you know, he's ready to give his life to the Lord, but still continue praying and contending for him, but he just wasn't able to say yes with that. And that kind of really touched me too. But, you know, just continue to pray for him and that God can use our contacts in Brazil to lead him to Jesus.
So this was my very first trip with Frontline. Yeah, I feel like I have a different, like, I don't know, testimonies, because for me, I just moved here and I'm still amazed at God connecting me with Frontline. And so a big part of, like, Brazil was I felt like this proud, I don't know, daughter, sometimes mom. I would just, like, look at everyone, like, when Papa Bill would be preaching and Mama Mary Pat preaching and Troy and Josh. And I would just, like, stand back and just, like, amazed at, like, this family. It's just amazing, like, the family that the Lord has given me with you all. And it was just, like, an honor to see everyone just laid down for the Lord and just preaching out just the gospel, just so sincere, so pure, and seeing the response of the people that that would be, like, in the audience. And so that was just really powerful to me. I mean, after every message, whoever was preaching, I mean, there was just a flood of people coming up to receive the Lord. And so that was just, it was amazing. I love Frontline. Everyone is just, I love you guys so much. It was so fun. And I want to give honor to Troy. He's an amazing leader. So if you ever, he's amazing. So if you haven't been on a trip and he's leading it, you should go, because he's a lot of fun. Mozambique. I'm trying to think. I guess I can share about this. So this is just, like, a personal thing that happened for me. So when we first got there, I was, like, very discouraged. I don't speak Portuguese. And I just started really getting in my thoughts and emotions, like, why am I even here? Like, I can't even really be effective. I can't speak their language. How is, you know, Lord, how are you going to use me? And so it was very humbling, because during our devotionals, it was cool how our devotions would line up with what the Lord was speaking about to me. And really, Troy mentioned one morning, because every morning we did devotionals together as a team, and Troy was mentioning that this is not about us, and it's a simple work. It's just simply knowing that we carry the Lord, and it's not about us, and that he moves through us as we just surrender. And so that, like, really convicted my heart, and I was repenting, like, Lord, forgive me for thinking that, like, I have anything to offer. It's you inside of me, and it took off all this pressure. And so, and it was that next day where we were coming back from the house-to-house outreach, and these girls just came running up to me with, like, smiles, and they're like, Chia, Chia, because all the kids call you Chia, aunt. And they're like, Chia, Chia, and they were just embracing me and hugging me. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit began telling me, you know, this isn't about you. Like, they see the love and it's me. They see the love and it's me. So just surrender to that. And so from that moment on, I was able to really open up and just allow the Lord to move through me and not feel pressured to, like, conjure up any type of, like, talk or anything, you know. And so they just, the love of these Brazilian people just loving on you, and they don't even know you, it was very powerful. And then I'll just share about, can you find the one picture? Well, we can do Caillou. I can't really pronounce his name that. Okay, this little guy. Oh, my goodness. So in the City of God, he was pretty wild. He would be rambunctious, and Tiana and I, the one day when we were doing soaking with all of them, and Josh was teaching a lesson about hearing the voice of God, he was just, like, I mean, he was hitting the ground, and he was, like, trying to talk to all his friends. And so I asked Tiana if I could hold him, and he came over and he sat in my lap, and I just started, like, praying for him, because you could tell there was just a lot of, like, demonic activity as well going on with him. And so I just asked, like, Holy Spirit, just release peace over him and just help him to know you and encounter you. And after I prayed, he sat there calmly, and Josh was able to call on him for an activity that we were doing. And so we would have two kids stand, like, back to back, and Josh would have the kids ask the Lord to give them a word for their partner. And so he got called on, and he stands up there, and he closes his eyes, and he's standing there for 30 seconds, and he opens his eyes, and he has this big smile, and he shares with Josh that God told him for that girl, she needs to start studying because she's going to be a doctor. And we all were just like, what? And so we turned to this young girl, and we were asking her, like, does this make sense to you? Like, are you going to, do you want to be a doctor? And she had told us that she.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hello there. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
How are you, Andy?
Good. 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 Good.
Good. Good.
Hi guys. Oh, Susanna's with the
all girls here. We left the boys, just girls. just girls now. Thank you. My 15 minutes of fame. Thank you very much. Do we look good? Thank you. Wow. Well, that was fun, but it was okay. We had the start of Bible school, so we had three people that came, and we had the frontline team, and we have three people, Bia, Saint, and Alice, and we are going to try to get more people for next Sunday. Today was a bit, you know, we just explained what's going to happen. Joe explained, Amanda. And the boys gave
Hi.
Testimonies as well about their experiences with frontline. And they all miss you. Hi, Mama.
Oh.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, we love you too. Yes. Okay, thank you. So, it was fun, guys. We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, yes.
So cute.
Look at you. Mary Pat, she... You should have seen
Hyla
giving her testimony today and encouraging people. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. All of them, actually. All of them. But Hyla is just, you know, Hyla and Janiel, they are pastors, I tell you. they are very good. All of them are. And Robinson is 100% better, thank God. Yeah? Yes, it is. It was great. He had a lot of pain in his chest, and we prayed for him. He got better, but by the end of the session, he was 100%. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Kisses. Bye bye.
I love you, Mama.
Great. Ciao. Thank you all. We love you all. Hey,
bye,
Ben.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Tell Angie. Bye bye, Angie. Angie. Thank you.
It's real. Oh my goodness.
Funny.
Yeah.
We just wanted. This was all the time, every day. This is how it is. And this is what relationship breeds, right? But Hobson has had a heart condition. He's one of our guys, one of our team members. And so as I'm walking in the church this morning, we're getting the news, his heart's going, it's like, oh, take me to the hospital. Well, you ask the Lord, and we're all about that if we need to, right? So we ask the Lord, what do we do with this? Because it was the enemy. And we had another real strong strike to stop what was going on today. So we talked with Inez and said, put your hands on him, lay hands on him, and command this to go now in the name of Jesus. And it will change. Now, that sounds crazy if you don't hear that from the Lord, right? But it's in the Word, but we also heard that from the Lord. And that's the testimony, that it's gone. That's what we got. Go ahead. I think there's a little clip to share the rest of the story. Are you going to share that first? Okay. Pastor Jerseo got a cell phone, and what you're hearing here from Audrey isn't on there, but he came into our worship center, and this is one of the last nights we were there, and he started videoing this. I think Josh is in it. I'm not sure if you're in it. And then he took his phone, and then he walked out the door across the street to show you how close everything is. And I'm in there with the rest of the team, and we're talking with the Uber driver who got saved. So just the reason we want to show it to you, it's very short. It's from Pastor Jerseo. These guys haven't seen it. Is you can see the proximity. You can see how close we all are. And this is in the middle of great darkness. Okay, so you can. This is it, right here. This is our worship center. You can add to it, because I don't know if this is already happening. When they were, after they were back to back, I think. Right, Audrey? And there we are. We're going outside, or Pastor Jerseo's going outside. There's the dark alley. We're going to own all those places on the left and the right. And literally, right across the alley, maybe 8 steps or less, this is Casa de Jesus. This is in City of God. And this is what's going on. That's how close it is. So, God is good to his palm. You are good. You are good is going on in our worship center. And this is what Mike McCrae painted on the wall.
She's in marketing. She knows how to.
And this is the Uber driver. And there she is. Her name is Gisela. That's Joe Cabeggi on the left. There's Troy. Papa Bill. Amanda. So there's a lot of spiritual activity going on that night. And that was it. So you can continue on and share what was going on in the worship center, but just to give an idea of the proximity, how close we are.
Yeah, and so we turned over to that girl that Kau had gotten the word for, and she began explaining that she had a dream of being a doctor. And, you know, these are children that are living, you know, in the slums, and they're surrounded by so much darkness. And so it was just really cool because she started saying she had that dream to be a doctor, but she had told no one. She hadn't even told her parents about that. And so we all, it was so cool. And so we got to pray for her that, you know, that God would raise her up to pull her out of that situation, that she could be a doctor. And she started tearing up, and it was just really, really cool. And it's just amazing. These children, we would do soaking with them every day that we were there. And so, you know, you have all these little kids just laying on these mats, and just the stories of what they're encountering with the Lord is so powerful. I mean, kids seeing a bright light, and then they realize it's Jesus. And then another boy, he like went up to heaven, and he even told us he felt like his body was there with us, but his spirit was up in heaven. And he began saying that, you know, he went up and saw angels that flying around with him, and then he went up to the mountain and started talking to God, asking him, why am I on this earth? What am I supposed to do? And God told him, I want you to keep loving me, and I want you to love your family. And so just these children are so hungry for the presence of the Lord, and it just gives me hope for kids in America even to start having these encounters, because these children out in Brazil who are surrounded by so much darkness are encountering the love of God in very powerful ways. And I guess the last testimony that I want to share about is when we were at, I forget which church it was, the Comunidade de Gra. It was the one that you preached at. Yeah, in the morning, and that's okay, we don't have to share about that. That was very powerful. He prophesied, and I was on the ground while the team was praying for everyone else, and Jesus, yeah, that, I won't share about that, though. So it's the picture that was on the Frontline website. I'm praying with the girl who was struggling with depression. Papa Bill had preached a powerful message about becoming childlike and following, you know, Jesus, and so our whole team got to line up, and so many people in the church came up for prayer. And the one girl that just really touched my heart, because you never know, like, what you've struggled with and what the Lord brings you out of. There are so many people that are attached to your testimony. And so this young girl that came up, she started just sharing with me that she had been struggling with depression and that she was just having, you know, really bad thoughts. And so I was able to start sharing with her, you know, the Lord has set me free from depression. I was depressed for a majority of my childhood, but the love of Jesus is able to set us free from that. And she just began weeping, and I was able to pray with her and just hold her and hug her and sing over her. And after I finished praying, she was so excited, and she told, it was translated to me, that she felt so much joy and peace, and she was just crying and hugging me, obrigada, obrigada, like, thank you, thank you. So that was just, it touched my heart. So you never, yeah. It was cool. So yeah. That's.
Amen. So obviously it was a pretty awesome trip. You would go on another frontline trip? Mozambique? I was just double checking, you're still signed up, you know. You seem, you know, you weren't that excited. And no, we found out, you know, in the yearbook, that Audrey was, you know, the shoulder to cry on. It was her claim to fame in her yearbook. And she truly was, everywhere she went, just interceding and just soft before the Lord. So thank you for the blessing you were to the team, and Ashley first time, and just the whole team was really amazing. And we really did see depression going. With that girl, and then we had a time at Heliopolis where God led for a call for that, and about 8 people came up just to step into new freedom. And then, as some of you know, I actually, after the team left, I stayed for a few more days to go minister out in Paraná, in the western part of Brazil, where my aunt lives, and ministered at a children's home there that she's been a part of for like 37 years now, and then also at the church there. And I had joked with the team about how I was probably not going to get a lot of sleep because I'm going to get stuck next to some person talking to me the whole bus ride, and you know how annoying that is, and I just don't like talking to people, so they all laughed. I get on this bus. I'm just sitting down, and this guy starts talking to me, and I'm like, I can't even stay awake, and he's just talking. I was like, they are going to so laugh. I so prophesied this over myself. And but as we're talking, this guy starts sharing with me about struggling with depression, and he starts sharing with me about his life and about how afraid he is of traveling in any vehicle, car, bus, plane, train, anything. And so, you know, somewhere in there, we had a stop to get off for food, and, you know, he fell asleep briefly, and we start going down this hill, and he just gets up, wakes up, and he's afraid. And I talked to him some, and, you know, established that he knew the Lord, and, you know, he was, well, I'm going to make a long story short. So anyways, I just said, hey, can I pray for you for this, you know, depression and for fear to go? And so I got a chance, so I prayed for him. Falls right to sleep. I wake up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning, because there was a stop, and I'm wanting to get out briefly, and he was blocking my way, and I wake him up and said, you know, hey, we need to, you know, can I get out? And he said, oh, where are we? And I said, Ponte Grosso, I think. He said, that's my stop. So he just totally slept through, would have missed his whole stop, except for I needed to find a bathroom and was looking for something to drink. So anyways, but it was just cool after he was just so, like, on edge about the whole travel, just got touching there. And then with that, and I did also want to just touch on Dr. Inez that was in the car driving there. The Lord gave her a vision a couple years ago about Bendiseo, and just blessing from heaven is what that means. And so developed a pajama line that shows some of the hearers of the Bible. And she shared that vision in a couple churches when we were there. And getting to hear it fresh and new just was really encouraging to me, because God, literally, there she is, with our Brazil team members showing some of the pajamas. And there were also plates and cups for birthday parties and things. And just sharing the vision that God gave her about, showed her just, you know, all these heroes coming out of TV, Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, that those are, our kids are being trained that those are heroes. That's what a hero is. And she's, you know, the Lord showed her that those are not heroes. Those aren't real. That's just imaginary. And it's covering up the real hero of Jesus and the heroes of the Bible. And so that's where she developed this, you know, these pajamas, which have David and Joseph and Ruth and Esther and Anna and those. And so this lady here is testifying at a church at Hegemitos about her, I believe it was her daughter, but could not sleep at night, was having all sorts of problems with fear and stuff, but really wanted one of these pajamas. So gets this pair of pajamas, and from that night on just sleeps. That there's an anointing because of the prayer that's gone into it and just the vision behind it that just broke off, you know, that bondage, you know, from the enemy to not be able to sleep and rest. So I just wanted to freshly share that with us, too, to be praying into that for the development of that business. And they're working on some more promotional materials to help with that. And one other kind of one, two-ish kind of things that were on my heart. There are so many things from the trip, so you do need to go to the website. You do need to check out the updates, because if we shared them all, you would be here all day, literally. But we just had so many salvations, so many people getting healed just from house to house. We had ears open up multiple times. We had eyes that were healed at this church in Braganza. We had a gentleman that, for me, one of the things I was pressing into is specifically words of knowledge on this trip and asking the Lord for just an increase in hearing those, for God to, you know, speak something that he wanted to heal in someone's heart, whether it's a heart issue like depression the one night, or whether it's a physical thing. And so we're at this church. Pastor Mary Pat was ministering, and at the end she handed me the mic and said, I think she said, do something. So she had mentioned beforehand that she might have me do something, Braganza, the smaller church. And she got done preaching and just hands me the mic, do something. So I took that as healing. Oh, this is the guy on the bus that, you know, he'd lost both his parents. He'd been run away from the Lord and didn't know the Lord when he was 22, got onto drugs and stuff and just all that. So it was really awesome. That cool testimony. But this is a real quick shot because the bus wanted to pull off without me. they don't wait around. you got to be with it. But so I was just asking the Lord, do you know, is there some, you know, I'm talking and I'm saying in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, is there a word, because I didn't know she was going to hand it to me right away. Is there a word of knowledge? Is there something you want to do? And I at first felt like the Lord said something about a knee, and I'm like, but Lord, I always get knees. Like, that's one that I hear that one. I'm like, something new, Lord. So I just had the slightest impression about a right shoulder. So I just called out and said, anyone with, you know, problem with their right shoulder? And this guy immediately throws up his hand and runs right up to the front. And then two other people came up, and so we prayed for the team. We prayed for them. And the guy with that first ran up, he just starts going like this, testing it out. And he had injured his shoulder, and I think he'd said fractured something in there over a year earlier, and had pain and range of motion issues since then. And God just totally released it, and it was gone. So it was really fun, and to make a really, there's more healings in there, and just a boy that, a young man that had a genetic issue that God just removed pain from his body, and we're waiting for the completion of just his being able to walk properly. But the pastor's father got healing in his eyes, his ears, all this amazing thing. But at the very end, I had pointed out this guy to stand up so that the guy could test his eyesight or his hearing. And then this guy wanted to come up for prayer, and of course it's his knee. So it's his knee and a pain in this, you know, in this this area. And the pain, you know, went away almost like 90%, he said. And the knee was an ongoing injury that he didn't have pain at that moment, but he wanted prayer for it because he'd had it flare up. So it's just kind of funny. But and then one other time, you know, we say sometimes words of knowledge, what's this for? I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, I'm nothing special. I, you know, we're, it's not about us. It's about him. But I'm in this church ministering, and again, I'm kind of given this offer for people to come forward to either give their hearts to the Lord or rededicate their lives. And I'm saying, Lord, is there anything specific you want to do? And I just have the slightest feeling about ribs. I was like, Lord, something new, not the knee, not the knee. Nothing wrong with knees, heal the knees. But I'm just contending with the Lord. Lord, I want to hear what is on your heart. So I just hear about these ribs and this left rib. And so I just call it out. They were about to go into worship again as, you know, with what I was doing. And I say, I just want to say real quick, if anyone's got a pain in their ribs, especially the left side, you know, the Lord, you know, I just feel like, Lord, I want to pray for you. The Lord wants to touch that. And no one's saying anything, and there's only about 60 people present or something like that. So I just said, you know, and just it could be, you know, your ribs, and that's okay if no one does. And this guy raises his hand, he's just crying. And he comes up to the front, and I come to find out he's had this pain in his ribs for about the last several months, and he's gone to the doctor. They have no idea what it is. He wakes up in the morning with this pain. And so you know, prayed for him. Called his wife to come up, felt led to pray for their marriage, and their son, who's 13 years old, is just crying and sobbing and weeping, and he just hugs me, and he's crying and sobbing and weeping, and I asked my aunt, and I was like, so what's going on, what's God doing right now, and he just said, I want to give my heart to Jesus, and I was like, so he doesn't know Jesus, or you know, he's in the church, you know, with his parents, but he's 13, he doesn't know Jesus, no, he wants to give his heart to the Lord, so we prayed right there, and you know, I got a report back that the father said the pain in his ribs, he didn't have it the next day, which he'd been waking up every morning with it. So following up with that to continue, he said that was great to receive that touch, but he said the greater miracle for me is to see my son give his heart to the Lord. So it's just, you know, these things are to bring people into the kingdom. It's to show that God is real, he's speaking, and he's speaking to us. And Jamie and my wife Rachel, my lovely wife, love you, you know, wrote these devotionals for us to go through throughout the trip to really challenge us in our faith and encourage us. And one of the ones that was written was about hearing the voice of God, and not just in the sense of words of knowledge and things like that, but hearing his direction in our life and what he's truly saying. And that so many times the picture that the Lord gave in that lesson, my wife, was the difference between a map and a compass. And I just wanted to throw that out to us. You can ask the team members for more things the Lord spoke about that. But, you know, on a map, we pick out a destination, say, I want to go here. And we say, well, I can go this way, I can go this way, I can go this way. And we kind of make up our best decision on where we want to go with this. Versus a compass, you know, it points north. It always points north. So you always know in relation to north where you're at, like which way that is. And that so many times the voice of the Lord is like that. He's directing us to a place. He told Abraham in Genesis 12, go out. I'm sending you out from your father's house, your family, everything you know, and I'm sending you out to go out to a place that I will show you. I will show it to you, but I'm not telling you exactly where it is because you're going to follow my voice, follow my leading. And, you know, there's more about that. But basically, you know, that in all of us, I just want to challenge, because this was something for the team and for each of us, that, you know, a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs the steps, and that it's not wrong to say, okay, Lord, you're taking me here. How do you want to take me? It's not wrong to kind of have a thought, and, you know, like, we don't chuck our brain to the side, but in that, we're really consulting the compass, the voice of the Lord. Lord, what are you speaking to me? I'm going to go first with what you say, no matter what the map looks like, no matter what looks like the best route, the quickest route, the easiest route, the hardest route. I mean, you know, I'm not going to just consult this, but Lord, I want to follow wherever your voice is leading. You're north. You're always true. Your voice is always correct. And as I submit to you and I'm walking a life with you and hearing, you know, desiring to hear your voice, that you're going to be faithful to lead me and guide me. And so it's not our emotions necessarily. It's not our plans and ideas, but it's really just about surrender to the Lord and putting his voice above that. And so all of us have been tested in that. Even on this trip, there were team members testifying about that it wasn't necessarily easy, where, you know, one felt the Lord lead, hey, I said go to Brazil, and the job says no, I'm leaving the job. And that's not something to do lightly, but it's about, you have to hear the voice of the Lord about that for his provision. You know, and someone else, you know, had a lot of things to work through too, but the Lord had spoken, go. And then he sorted the details. God can work out the direction, the map, the path of that. He can work that out, but that we always make sure it's the voice of the Lord that leads us and not our situations. So just want to give that as a fresh encouragement, not necessarily a pitch for the Mozambique team, but although, if the Lord's speaking to you, but really just that we take, you know, our decisions, our plans, our thoughts through Holy Spirit, through the voice of the Lord, as we're surrendering to him, because if we're not surrendering to him, we're going to still hear our voice. And then we've got a brief video here that I think is showing our new worship center. So I want to watch that too, and just see, as we've followed the voice of the Lord, purchasing the one room, and then last year purchasing another room, and then the Lord opening up and providing to purchase this third room to expand the worship center, and they're currently working on doing that even as we're, well, not today, hopefully. Hopefully they're in church, but right, so this room is, it's where an entire family would live, so the bathroom's in there, the kitchen, it's one room, and the bathroom's just like a little half wall with a curtain usually, so we can just see this.
This is our new building, like here, from here, to there, it's our new building, and I'm going around to show you. It's a little bit hard because it's raining, and this is the side of our building. Okay. And the back, and it goes to here. This is the final. So, yeah. All these is our building. Woo-hoo.
So that's right in front of you. See the church? Well, no, just a little to the left. I think it's coming up. You'll see, there you go. That's his build. That's the church right there that you saw on the right. So again, there's literally like, you know, 10 feet between buildings, 8 feet.
We can see there to here.
She's a very good narrator.
Zara Bucci.
So part of the vision, just, you know, seeing this picture is, you know, we're designed to purchase more down in through there and really take over that area a bit for the kingdom. This is one of the only places of peace and safety these kids and young adults have, I mean, in this place. And so here's inside the room. So Pastor Will and Pastor Mary Pat are standing at the opening into the bathroom. If you go to, you know, to the right there, that's just that little wall there. That seals off the bathroom, the toilet, the shower, the sink. It's all right there. And that would have been their little kitchen there that you see in front with the sink. But we're in the process. Thanks for everyone who helped buy the room and then also some money to start towards the remodeling. Right. Right. Yeah, so it's, you heard that there, this is literally their home, but yeah, it would be, yeah, it's not ginormous. So this wall that's they're touching right there, the green wall, is all going to come down to open it up with the entire first floor being opened up as part of the worship center for expanding what we're doing in teaching and leading worship, and also the presence of God and the discipleship group is meeting in there. And then the roof is going to be taken off as that is and joined with the other two buildings that we've purchased, two rooms there and houses, and joined into one full larger room. And then that's being set with the foundations so that we can actually go up, because the plan is to have a second story that's going to house the Bendiseo ministry of the pajamas and the plates and all that, where some of the people within the favela will be employed with sewing machines and stuff to make the clothing so that it's made right there in the favela. And the proceeds of it are all going back towards pajamas into the favela, missions, and just continuing just this work of the worship center and everything. So it's not Inez getting rich off of selling pajamas. This that's not the vision, and that's not what's happening. She keeps throwing more and more into it. But you can see this is our current worship center, and we had some painting that we did a couple years last year. Was that just last year? 2 years ago. Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. It's 2 years ago we did that painting. Here's the other portion of it. We bought some chairs for them, so they're sitting in chairs. This is the beginning of the discipleship group just starting to meet, and these things tend to take a little bit of time to keep drawing the people in and getting the word out. So that's some of the team. And then the other girl that was in the green shirt that is the tall one in the picture, she was in the car with Inez and some of our team. That's Susanna, who's from Switzerland, who was a part of an Iris Ministries school that also came in the day that we were leaving. We got to meet her. She's there for a couple weeks ministering and helping. So, again, this is a start. Sen and some had already had to leave, but they took a quick picture at the very, very end. So that's going to house on the second floor. It'll have the Bendiseo, and there'll be stairs within the building to go up, but then probably stairs on the outside so they have access to go in and work without going through the worship center. So we're continuing to develop that. Anyone who wants to sew into that project, you're welcome to do so, because there's more needed. But to get that second story and then as well going down the building as the Lord leads. So,
just to wrap up, this is really incredible just for visioning, because the ones that you're seeing here, they're so encouraged because this never happened before. In their place, they can't believe that people would come in and pay money to buy their buildings and sew into them and actually be consistent. And they know that we'll back up what we say. We're not going to be squirrely about it. And you guys have been tremendous in sewing in and supporting this. It's not cheap. So thank you for that. And so this next story is under construction right now, or the beginnings of it right now. We have the estimate is coming, and we have a really good contractor that Pastor Jerseo really trusts. And so we're really good about that. And so we're going to have that built, as far as we understand, even before we purchase the other buildings that keep going down the alley. So that's coming. And thank God for you guys. Thank you for doing that. And so please continue to sow into this. And, if you know, I know there's a lot of detail on this trip, a lot of emotion that's been shared, and it's not a side issue we're going to Mozambique, or a side issue we're going to Asia, or a side issue for all these other countries. They're all in this loop. They're all interrelated. This is just something very substantial on the heart of the Lord right now for what he's doing in Brazil. And I really believe he wants us to catch the vision. And Troy is an outstanding team leader, and he does a wonderful job. And Josh had never been under his leadership and under his authority that way, and he was blown away. I'm sorry he couldn't be here today, because he said that was one of the greatest things for him, to be able to see Troy just navigate and move. And we want to see more people in frontline rise up and be team leaders like this. Troy's not the only one forever here. But he does a really good job in Brazil, Mozambique. We have other countries, and he needs help. And we need co-team leaders. We need people, because it was pretty stretching for him. And, you know, everybody helped and jumped in. But we really need people to step into this level of leadership. And you guys have been around for a long time, and so you're it. So we look forward to that, that that's coming for these trips that are coming out. So thank you, Troy, for everything that you've done, and thank you for this team. And I think, is there anything else? I think Andy was, there's the new building right there. And we took that before the team came because we were there a week. So Pastor Bill and I were there for 3 weeks, and Troy and the team were there for two. So it was really an amazing, amazing trip. And I think we have two more pictures of the pajamas, remember? Okay, if you can just show this, and then we're wrapping up. But in Braganza, there were two churches, and Pastor Bill and the team went to one, and I, myself and Troy and a couple of team members went to another. And in there, see this? This is in the slums, kind of. It's kind of in the outskirts of the slums. It's not really slummy, but it's not one of the super-duper, you know, wealthier churches. But the Lord put it on my heart, and we had 13 sets of pajamas, and he said, just give them away. It's like, oh, okay, I love that. So gave them all away, and they were blown away by that. There they are. Some of the kids got them, and they're just so excited about what's going to happen. So the pastor's wife came up to me, and she goes, I want to sell them. Maybe I can... Can I help you guys? It's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And they're about an hour and a half away. And so the Lord wants us to spread through Brazil. And I think it was, let me think. Who was it? Okay, I'm not sure. I can't remember who it was. But somebody has decided that, you know, they really want to jump in and help us with this. There, so we're asking for more help, not just in Brazil, but also here, so we can be boots on the ground in America, and see if we can get this going. And every time we have Relentless Pursuit, we have PJs here, and Inez comes and she shares about it. And so Beth Ann, down in this corridor here, she drew a lot of the pictures of some of the Bible characters, but there's more that Inez has added, and all these ventures. They come with a price. Somebody broke into Inez's house and stole all the merchandise a couple of years ago. All of it. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that's not unusual. We were in Mozambique. Pastor Jose was starting his project that we partner with. And everything burned down, the crops and everything, a couple times. So there's a lot of backstory to all these efforts that you see. And we go, ooh. So please jump in and continue to pray for us and come with us. And help us when we're over there so that this army will grow. We just really appreciate you guys. And this was an amazing team, so thank you. Love you so much. And I think we are wrapping up, and we have an annual meeting. Is there anything we wanted to say about that? So there's food here and a meeting that's coming.
We get to eat and meet. So if you want to hear even more of what's going on with Frontline, if this wasn't... enough to saturate you. We get to eat first, and then we'll start the meeting up. The leadership will have a quick executive meeting and prepare those that are here, prepare for the reports that we want to give on the last year in Frontline and the exciting things that went on with that. So if you're hungry, this is the place to be. If you're hungry to hear what God is doing even more than what you've heard and you think you can handle a whole another wave of it, you're more than welcome to stay and hear the reports, the financial report for the year, the various things that were done in other countries other than Brazil. And so I think we covered Brazil pretty well today. I think it was a pretty exciting thing. So Father, yes? I can't read lips. I'm really bad at it. I use translator for other languages.
We could maybe use a couple guys to help with the tables and chairs.
Okay, so we'll need a couple of guys to help with tables and chairs or strong girls because most of you have been on mission trips. So, Father, we thank you, God. We bless your name. We are so excited that you're excited, that we actually want to do what you want us to do, God. And we just come to you like children. We don't know what we're doing. If it sounded like it today, then that was the wrong report because we really don't know what we're doing other than following you, following the Holy Spirit, and saying, Father, here we are. We're just your little kids. We need your hand everywhere we go to be led. We need your voice everywhere we go to be led. We need your presence everywhere we go to be led. And Father, when that happens, it's just amazing what our eyes see and our ears hear. We thank you, God, that you're all over what happened in Brazil and you're going to take it to the next place while we're gone. Father, there are those there sowing in their lives, sowing in their funds, Father, into very dark places. Even today, we heard the report. God, they're going to continue. We just come in and we support that. We stand with them. We pray with them. We are in touch with them during the year. But you're the one that empowers them and leads them and helps them go to the next stage, the next season, the next level, Father. We pray that all will work out for the worship center to be renovated, Father, into that next room, Lord, and it can be expanded for the children and the adults and the Jovens, Father, the teenagers that come in, God. We know lives are going to continue to be changed. We thank you for the historic day today, God, that it was opened up to people that were brought in by the outreach. And, Lord, some lives showed up, and they'll have a testimony to give the others, and they'll go out and get the other ones that were there and bring them in. They know who they are, Father, and we know you're going to continue to change lives by discipleship. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Today we started with worship, Lord, and even this is a time of worship as we report to one another what you're doing. We know we can't do anything, according to John 15, Lord, without Jesus. We are well aware of that. So we give you all the praise today. We thank you for the food, the meal we're going to share together, the laughter, the joy over the last year, Father. God, so many victories, so many victories. We took some hits here and there, Father, and Lord, you've turned those around. You've turned those around, God, once again. We depend on you. You're our strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We are running to you, our strong tower, today. And we want to give you praise even more during this afternoon, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you're free to, looks like some seating has appeared back there. And if they need any help, please volunteer.